You're listening to Avacyn On The Record, a podcast providing you knowledge from experts on government-driven markets. I'm Caitlin Kennedy, and we'll be hosting today's podcast. Today we'll be discussing on-orbit satellite servicing, a new and interesting field in the space industry. I'm joined today by David Belcher, an analysis manager here at Avacyn. David, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Perhaps we should begin by defining what satellite servicing is. David, what exactly is this?
Well, a broad definition of satellite servicing would be the physical manipulation or alteration of satellites in orbit. So, for example, let's say you have a satellite in orbit that is fully functional technologically, but is approaching its end of life due to the fact that it's running out of fuel. Mm-hmm. One function of satellite servicing could be to either refuel the satellite or have another satellite attach itself to the initial satellite and provide propulsion so that it can maintain its orbit. Another function could be, if we take, for example, a communication satellite with a broken antenna. In on-orbit satellite servicing, theoretically, you could have a repair satellite come up, remove the broken antenna, and replace it with a new one.
Oh, very interesting. So how has on-orbit satellite servicing matured in recent years?
Well, the technology for satellite servicing is probably at a level where it's ready to begin operational status, and it probably has been so for a couple years. As far as the business case for satellite servicing, that has only recently matured to a level where there actually have been contracts for this service, at least commercial contracts.
Okay. What does on-orbit servicing look like in both the government and commercial markets? Is there a commercial market for it?
That depends largely on how you define commercial. If you're asking, is there a market for commercial satellite servicing companies to derive revenue from government contracts? Absolutely. If you're asking if there is a market for commercial operators to derive significant and durable revenue from servicing commercial satellites, I think that's a bit more ambiguous at the moment.
Why is that?
Largely because the business plans haven't been revealed. So as someone who's not an expert on, you know, the ins and outs of engineering, but who does have a background in policy and economics, I wonder what these satellites would be doing when they're not generating revenue. So for example, if you have a contract to service a satellite for 5 years, say to provide its propulsion for 5 years, what is it doing when those 5 years are over? What if you have not established another contract to do the same thing? What if you have to go to the other side of the orbital arc during the transit period? You're not generating revenue during that period of time, in theory. So I guess my questions largely revolve around the business case for what the satellite will be doing when it is not actually conducting its mission and how it will be generating revenue. Because you still have to pay for its operation, for its maintenance, to make sure it doesn't run into other things. These are all things that will cost money, regardless of if it is generating revenue for you or not.
That makes sense. So generally speaking, do you see any complications in the adoption of satellite servicing?
Beyond the one I just mentioned, I think the other significant complication would probably be regulatory, in the sense of liability. I don't know if these companies who are wanting to engage in commercial satellite servicing are willing to accept full liability if something goes wrong. Internationally, liability is covered by the Outer Space Treaty and various other international treaties. So if an accident occurs where an on-orbit satellite servicer causes damage to a satellite that causes subsequent damages to other satellites or damage on Earth, the question of who accepts ultimate responsibility and liability for that is not necessarily as straightforward as it may seem.
So, David, how much will fiscal constraints of the government hinder progress on on-orbit servicing?
Well, I actually think that fiscal constraints to some degree could help enable the adoption of satellite servicing. For example, I think the case could be made that it would cost the government less to repair or refuel a satellite in orbit rather than procuring an entirely new satellite. For example, when the Hubble Space Telescope was damaged, we had the space shuttle and astronauts were able to go up and actually physically repair it. That is not necessarily the case any longer, because we no longer have craft that are capable of going up, transporting humans, and having them physically repair the damage. If something, hopefully this doesn't occur, but if something were to be wrong with, example, the James Webb Telescope, which is currently at about $8 billion, it would definitely be nice to be able to have some sort of ability to repair it. So I see this as a potential way that satellite servicers can prove their worth by saving the government money in the long term on procurement of satellites.
So how much of a priority is this for the U.S. government?
That is a tricky question. There are definitely supporters of satellite servicing in Congress, and I would argue that this is probably a relatively high space priority for governments in general, largely because of the dual use applications of the technology. If you can go up and repair or modify a satellite, it means you can also go up into outer space and potentially damage a satellite in some way, shape, or form. It's not necessarily something that we would want to do. I do imagine, though, it's a capability we would like to at least have the potential of having.
In your opinion, what would it take for satellite servicing's business case to be more compelling?
I think that one way that I would find the market for satellite servicing to be more compelling is if these servicing satellites were capable of upgrading satellites, not just refueling and or repairing them.
Very interesting, and it should be interesting to see what the future holds. Well, that is all the time we have for today. David, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to be here.
You've been listening to Avison on the Record, Avison's podcast that examines issues and trends in government-driven markets. Thanks for listening.